Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for standing and praying. God bless you. Amen. I tell you this morning, I want to channel in. You know what a channel is? You know, a channel connects things, right? You go through a channel. You know, that's, you ever done click, 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 or flip, 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 huh? And what it's doing, it's connecting you to a channel. They call it channels. So that you can catch whatever on the other side of your receiver. Yeah. If you really want God, you got to quit flipping channels. Because people that flip channels don't see anything. They don't get enough to enjoy anything. They just flipping. And if you keep flipping, you say, I'm flipping out. Well, you're not going to get nothing out of this sermon if you keep flipping out. Hallelujah. You know, infantry don't march just like, well, you walk how you want to walk. And some, you know, got their britches down here and others got them pulled. No, they look alike. They walk alike. I was in the marching band, the Marching 100. Yeah, that's right. I had to make some big steps to get to them 10-yard lines in 8 steps. And when you step on the line, when it practiced, everyone would say, line, at the same time. Because we were trying to channel. I admire people that really don't know our God. They'll get there and they'll rock like this. You ever seen it? All of them will get together and they'll rock this. Because they're channeling. They're trying to tap into the resource of some other God. 120 on the day of Pentecost were channeling. We have probably that many here today. If we would just channel our attention toward the Most High God, He will do exceedingly abundantly above. The Most High God can do above all that you could ask or think. Let's clap our hands to our God. Thank God. Woo, glory to God. With us this morning, I appreciate you coming. I'm going to go ahead and get started this morning in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 10, 11, and 12. If you'll stand, I'll read the word of the Lord to you and then allow you to be seated. The Lord is talking to Abraham, a man who has no future. He has no children. He has really no home. He's left his home. He has no future. If you ever look down the road and wonder, what's my future? And many times people quit because they can't see their future. They can't see the future in the marriage. They can't see the future in the job. They can't see the future in living for God. And when anytime you can't see the future, you begin to get frustrated. And he's frustrated. I've left my home. I've left my kinfolks. And he said, the Lord said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, like 90 he is. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was barren. Not only was she barren, she was past the time she could even physically have a child. So for this reason, therefore, Sarah laughed in herself. It wasn't out, it was just in her heart and in her mind. Oh, yeah. Saying, after I am waxing old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Why didn't you come when I was 30? And tell me this, I might not laugh. But we go 3 chapters later, my brothers and sisters, we come to Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. Say set time. Better keep it on the right channel, folks. At the set time of which the Lord had spoken to him. And Sarah said, God now hath made me to laugh. Oh, my Lord. I'm LOLing now. So that all that hear will laugh with me and not at me. And she said, who would have said, oh my God, who would have thought, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given child suck? Oh my God. For I have borne him a son in his old age. First laugh to the second laugh. But I want to talk about life between the laughs. Yeah, I want to talk about life. Between, this is where you're at this morning, life between the laughs. Lord, I come before you this morning. We're going to have a glorious time today, and we're going to hopefully laugh and enjoy fellowship and good food and all the things that is available to us. But Lord, if our heart's not merry and our soul's not singing, is it really laughter at all? And I ask you today, help someone make it through the life between the laughs, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you again for coming this morning. Have you ever had somebody tell you something that was so ridiculous that you made that sarcastic laugh? And as soon as they drove off, you said, Eric, that'll never be. Never gonna happen. And you're going, oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Never going to happen. And there's this little sarcastic. How many of y'all aren't sarcastic? I want to meet you. There are people that are king of sarcasm. They can't make a comment that's not sarcastic. I'm already getting on somebody's nerves. Both Sarah and Abraham were old and stricken with years, and to even think and imagine that these two old fogies, I mean, imagine Sarah going around, Brother Johnson, you going around and said, hey, Sister Johnson, I'm going to have a baby. Ooh, we're going to have a son. We're going to call his name Isaac. And people are going to go, good. That's good. God. Crazy. That guy's lost his mind. Or somebody will say, hey, when that happens, I won't be the first one to get the bubble gum. Make a sarcastic. It's kind of tough telling somebody when God tells you something about your future. It's kind of tough to tell somebody what God has shared with you because you're going to get that sarcastic laugh. Usually what God says is unfathomable. Very few people like sarcasm in a cutting way because most sarcasm is in this chop. It's to belittle the other person in replying to what they said or a situation. It's like, you know, you got an appointment and there's somebody's waiting on you and you get there 15 minutes late. When you arrive, they'll say, well, there's nothing like being on time. They're just cutting you. They're just cutting you. Or you ever drank coffee at somebody's house and it's like, ooh, this is so strong. Hey, could you make this a little stronger, please? You know? And if I told you that this church is going to run 2,000 next year, we're back here next year, we're going to run 2,000. I'm telling you, that wouldn't really anybody believe me. Because we have to see how this is going. We have to mechanically rationalize how can this thing be. It's much like the guy that, as Elijah said, isn't a time of famine. And they were eating dung. That's how bad the famine was. It was so bad they'd eat their own children. Imagine that. That's how bad this famine was. And the prophet Elijah comes, hey, by this time tomorrow, we're going to work. Yeah, we're going to be eating sausage. And he said, we're going to be eaten, and it's going to sell in the streets of Samaria for a penny a shekel. And and a guy whom the king leaned on. His advisor said, might this thing be unless the windows of heaven would open up. That sarcastic cut, 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 cut. Let me tell you, you can be sarcastic with me, but you better back off of God. You better back off of that sarcasm with God. The man Elijah said, I'll tell you what, buddy. Because see, what happens when you use sarcasm, it makes me want to prove you wrong. Right? Come on. I'll show you. What was you saying about? Remember that time you said? And he said, excuse me, sir, but let me tell you, tomorrow is 24 hours. In 24 hours, you will see it, but not taste it. Now, you're crazy. That prophet's crazy. But let me tell you, this ain't even in my notes, but there's four old lepers sitting outside the city saying, hey, we're dying. I'm hungry and I'm dying. We might as well go into the camp of the enemy. If they kill us, we're dying anyway. So let's just go in. So they stood up and began to walk. Let me tell you, that channeling took effect. It sounded like they had hired an enemy to go conquer this city. And the Bible says that those people left the city. They left their tents. They left the sausage in the oven. They left everything cooking. They just got out for their lives. And here come these four lepers. They go in there and they look, Lord, have mercy. Where are y'all at? It's like you get the cell phone here. Where are y'all at? No one was there. And they ate till they couldn't eat some more. They ate so much they started hiding it. And they said, wait a minute. We're not doing well. You see how God works? And he said, we're not doing well. Why don't we go and tell them in Samaria what we have found? Brother, in 24 hours, just like the man said, there was bread in a plenty in that place that was once famished. And the man who cut the sarcasm saw it, but they trampled over him, and he never tasted. Oh, I'm telling you, if God says something, you can be sarcastic with me, but back off of God. Sarah, like, seeing how old we are. My old man's 90 years old. How's this going to happen? It sounded too ridiculous to be true. How could a 90-year-old man and a barren woman who's struggling to be the father and mother of one become the father and mother of nations? Out of you will come nations. Lord, we hadn't even had one. And God heard her. And God took offense to that little snide remark she said in her mind. And he looked at Abraham in that tent while she's in the other tent and said, Why did she laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. She said, you're lying now. A lot of times when you get caught in that snide remark, you go, well, that's not how I meant it. That's not really what I meant. No, that's exactly what you meant. And so she said, why did she laugh? Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'm asking you this morning. I don't know what God has for your future, but I'm telling you, if God said it, you can have it. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You can go from sweeping the floors today to the CEO in a month of a big company. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Better back off of God. When God makes promises, they almost always sound so ridiculous that it's like it causes you to almost say to anybody who would dare say, I'm 90 years old, I'm going to have a child, you got to be kidding me. How many of you remember John McEnroe? You remember John McEnroe, famous tennis player? He was king of sarcasm. I mean, the ball would hit the line, and he would go over to the judge, the one that said, out! He would walk over there and scream at him, are you blind?
You've got to be kidding me. You cannot be serious. And Job said, out. He's the judge. And all that don't do any good but rile John McEnroe up. And you get all riled up. And he's the judge. And he's the judge. I mean, it sounds crazy to talk about walking around the walls of Jericho in unison till they fall down. I mean, I would be, and the Bible says that Joshua told him, don't you say a word. No. He said, walk around. Last time we messed up because we talked too much. This time you're not saying a word. Because you know what would happen? There would be so many of them say, who's going to fall down? We're going to fall down. That's what's going to happen. The walls ain't coming down. Have you checked how big these walls are? Do you know how long they... See, we would start trying to analyze how is this going to happen. And the Lord is real simple, but yet it's real big. I'll take the simple things to confound the wise. And so when they did what God said, the walls came tumbling down. A lot of life, my brothers and sisters, has to be lived between the laughs. There's not but three chapters between the first laugh of Sarah and the second laugh. But I'm here to tell you there's a lot that happened between the laughs. There came a day that there was an appointed time, and God did visit this man and this woman and restored them so that they could have this child that he promised. And as she holds this baby now in her arms, she says these words openly, not with her heart and in her mind, but with her mouth. She said, God has made me to laugh so that all that sees me, I can show them this is my baby. And they'll go, you got to be kidding me. You mean your great-grandbaby? No, my baby. God restored this old woman so much that her breast fed this baby. She gave him suck. Whoo! Don't ever minimize your God. Because he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Now, I wouldn't even ask him for something like that, would you? No. And I limit him by not asking him for things he's capable of doing. Can I keep preaching? I won't be long. I want everybody, she said, to laugh with me now. But I want to preach for a little while about enduring the life between the laughs. Because the first time she said this thing in this sarcastic way, it was 10 years later before she meant it. Before she could laugh, and it was a real laugh. It was a ho, ho, ho. Let me tell you, too many times people want a ho, ho, ho all their lives. Let me tell you, we're not singing a Christmas carol. Yeah, you know. Dashing all the way, ho, ho, ho. Life has a way of taking the ho, ho out of you. It can be ho, hum. And I'm here to tell you, she laughed the first time out of a snideness. She laughed, but God has made me this time. Oh, I can't quit laughing. I just can't. I cannot. See, there's a journey of life between the time God says something and the time God performs what he says. My question to you is, can you endure the journey between the laughs? Can you outlast it till you laugh again? I just feel like this morning somebody is wondering, will I ever be happy again? Can I talk to you for a little while? I just believe somebody this morning, you're here this morning, and you're wondering, will I ever laugh again? Will I ever be happy again? And you reflect back to the day and the moment and the laughter of the past, and you remember, like the song says, take me back to the first place when I first believed. I remember when I found God. Woo, hallelujah. I was going to save everybody in the world. And when you got back to the job, nobody wanted to hear you. They laughed at you. Can you endure between the laughs? There's a journey you have to take. And it's a very emotional journey. I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, but God will perform what he said, but will you be there at the set time? their faith went up. I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah. When God first said it, it was kind of like, well, maybe. And you said, well, I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to trust God. But after about a year or so, you're going, I don't know. I'm not sure anymore. And your faith begins to wane. And your hope goes up and it gets dashed. And it rises again and it gets dashed. And you go up and you go down. And you go up to this emotional roller coaster, if you will, trying to get to laugh again. Trying to be happy again. Trying to find that place where salvation for your happiness is there. Not just your soul, but I want to save my happiness. The Bible, I mean, even our own government says you have the right to pursue what? Happiness. And I feel like somebody may be on the pursuit to happiness. And so in their quest for God's promises, they begin to substitute things for God to make it happen. See, when it don't happen, like you can rationalize it to happen. See, I'm old and I can't, and I'm 90 and it's not. So, Lord, maybe just someone in my household. I have Eleazar with me. Maybe just someone in my household that's born in my household. That's what you meant. And the Lord said, no, I said through Sarah. That's what I said. Oh. So Sarah says, well, Abraham, it ain't going to happen with me. Go into Hagar. You see, we try to, and all of that causes trouble. Oh, I wish I could talk to somebody. Because I want to tell you, in those three chapters between the laughs is a lot of trouble. A lot of ups and a lot of downs. A lot of things that were not legitimate. Sarah asked Abraham to go in unto her handmaiden and have that promise. Child, I'm sick of this thing. I'm tired of waiting on. See, you ain't laughing now. It ain't so funny now. My question to you this morning is, can you hold on until you laugh again? I'm here to tell somebody this morning with a surety, you will laugh again. You will love again. You will be excited again. You will want to live again. You will have a desire to get up in the morning again. But you've got to hold on. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Sarah's first laugh was from unbelief. But can I tell you, her second laugh was from unbelief also. Think about it. First time, I don't believe it. The next time, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Who would have thought? Oh, my God. Who would have thought this church would run 2,000 in 1 year? Who would have thought that? I'm telling everybody. You see? Too many people shout, my brothers and sisters, about the wrong thing. They shout about an idea of victory and not when they get the victory. They shout about the promises of God, but they don't understand that there's a journey to get to the promises of God. I like to shout and I like to rejoice and I like to do that. But let me tell you, when you do it too early, it's like a football game, if you will. As long as there's 1 second left in one play and it can be the bottom of the ninth, I don't know, in a baseball game. As long as there's a little hope, you never know. I've seen teams and you have too. Woo! And end of the game. They shouted too early. Now for me and my household, when we won the game, whoo, hallelujah. Let me tell you how I was made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I have now overcome. But when you shout too early, it's too emotional for me. That's just me. I'm ready to shout when I got it, not when I'm thinking about it. It's too emotional for me. Now, you see, the children of Israel, when they come across the Red Sea, they come across, they've been in bondage for 400 years, and they come across the Red Sea, and the waters opened up, and it's like, ooh, this Moses guy, he's good. That Baggett guy, he's good. Some people thought I was good 10 years later, they're not here. That Moses, he's good. Me and my, we're going to follow Moses. You see that water, how it parted? And Lord, they walked across in their hackberry house slippers on dry land. And when they got to the other side, here come the enemy. Oh, ooh, ooh. Lord, do something. And the Bible says that the Lord allowed the waters to come back together and drowned it. He said, that enemy that you see, you're going to see no more. How many of you got some enemies you'd like to see no more? Woo. Call Moses. And so the enemy is drowned. And Miriam and them, they get across to the other side. And they get so excited, brother. They got a tambourine. She gets this tambourine out. She starts dancing. Woo! The Lord hath triumphed over the horsemen and its riders. Woo! Hallelujah. That enemy we saw, we're never going to see him again. Oh, hallelujah. That God, that Moses, oh, Moses is great. He's good. We are men now, and we're an overcomer. And she's so excited. And the Bible says, and then sang they the songs of Zion. See, they couldn't sing it in captivity. I'll fly away, oh, glory. And then when they turned around, I'm hungry. You hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. You bring something? No. You? No. I'm thirsty, mama. Well, you got something? No. And they turned around. They were in the wilderness. They shut that party down. They shouted too early. I'm talking about life between the laughs. See, it was, oh, yeah, yeah. And they turned around, and they were liberated, and they were free. But liberation sometimes brings on responsibility. Where's that Moses guy? You gonna let us die out here because there's no graves in Egypt? You gonna bury me in the sand like you did that other guy you killed? You see how quick people can change on you? Oh, my Lord. And they would not laugh again, my brothers and sisters, for 40 long years. I'm talking about, can you last between the laughs? 40 years later, they come to the promises of God. Woo! Now it's time to shout, my brothers and sisters. Now it's time to shout. I remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, how she sang songs. So excited when she got the angel Gabriel, the announcer of good news, came to her, said, you shall conceive. Can you imagine how unconceivable it is to believe that a virgin can? The prophet Isaiah wrote it, but it's not possible. And the Lord chose her and said, you shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's a big shoes to fill there. And she said, be it so. Woo, be it so with me. Okay, and she can't wait to tell Elizabeth. Let me tell you, Elizabeth, she goes and tells Elizabeth, guess what? And when John the Baptist in the womb, he was listening in. He was listening to him. The first shout was John the Baptist. He was shouting in the womb. The Bible said he leaped in her womb. It was a little early, John, because there's a cross yet to come. And Mary was so excited. All women going to call me blessed. Oh, I can't wait to tell. And her own husband said, you scoundrel, you cheated on me. I'm going to put you away privately. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. An angel had to talk to him and say, hey, no, wait a minute. This is of the Lord. That thing that's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's different. That's different. Now you see, if God is in it, it's okay. If God's not in it, count me out. And so what was unconceivable that you didn't even want to say because it looked so bad, it was the glory of God being shown to the world to save them of their sins. But the Bible says that even Simeon told her, you better bury these things in your heart because you're going to have to last between the laughs. And here to tell you, it was 33 and a half years later, she felt like laughing again when her dead son got up out of the grave. He's alive. He's alive. I'm telling everybody, he's alive. As they come this morning, I want to encourage somebody who's asking themselves, will I ever laugh again? Will I ever be happy again? I'm here to tell you, your day is coming. Don't give up and don't despair. Don't dismay. I'm telling you, I don't know when, but there's an appointed time and there's a set time, and you have to be ready when God's on time. You need to be ready. But if you're not in position, if you will, to receive the promises of God, He'll pass you by. Everybody here has an appointed time for restoration. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't been broken. You're here, everybody's here because they've been broken someplace. He that's well needs not a physician. You don't need a preacher if you've never been broken. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Lord, David had murdered a man. He had cheated on his wife. He sat down and said, "God, search me and see if there be any wicked thing left in me. What I'm looking for, God, is joy. Will I ever be happy again? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." When you finally realize that salvation is above all that you did wrong. His mercies, he wrote, that's why he wrote like he wrote. Because he wrote a chapter and every verse ends with, "And his mercy endures forever." That's how you're restored. How many of you know you can't undo what you did? But once you get into the mercies of God and you tap in, you can begin to laugh again. Restore unto me. You know, when he knocked that big old guy down with that rock, and brother, he got that sword and he cut his head off. He was, the Bible says they got out there, the women did, with tambourines, and they dancing. Saul has killed his 1,000. This little dude is 10,000. I mean, he was walking. It was like 3 days later, he still had him by the hair of the head, brought his head into Saul. But I'm telling you, it was years later before he laughed again. There was a lot of running, a lot of near-death experiences, a lot of hopeless, sleepless nights, a lot of crying and a lot of wondering. "Lord, I thought you anointed me to be king. How come I'm not king yet?" Because it's not time. How come I'm not? It's not time. But when the fullness of time came, he brought forth his own son. And at the fullness of time, he'll bring you up. But can you last between the laughs? Would you stand? Ooh, I'm here to tell somebody it'll be worth it. Just hang in there. It's going to be okay. Just hang. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm just restoring somebody's hope this morning. Just hang in there. Amen. Just one more day. One more day. David got so discouraged. He got so beside himself that the men that used to follow him thought of stoning him. Ooh, he was so alone, brother. He sat down and he said, "I'm going to encourage myself. There's nobody else to encourage me. I'm going to encourage myself." How? In the Lord. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I am better than this. No, I didn't mean to do that. God, I'm sorry for what I did. And lift me up. And the Lord said to him, "Get on that horse, ride one more time. And if you'll just get up one more time, you shall recover all." Who would have thought that David would lose it all in one day and get it all back tomorrow? Hallelujah. This morning, I don't know where you're at in your journey. You may be at the beginning of the journey and you're young and life is, I'm invincible to life. I'll talk to you again in a few years and you'll find out there's a journey between the laughs. But I'm telling you, there's a God that led them through that wilderness. There was a God that was a fire by night and a cloud by day. He was that water that came out of that rock that day. Hallelujah. There is a God that will lead you through the journey between the laughs, because it's the last laugh that's going to count. Woo, hallelujah. It's the last laugh that counted. Hallelujah. Look, I got a child here and I'm 90 years old. It's the last laugh that's going to count. Woo, hallelujah. As they sing this morning, I wish for just a few minutes, we entertain the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. If you find yourself caught somewhere on this journey, you don't know what tomorrow holds, I'm here to tell you, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. But there's a set time. Don't you worry about the highs and the lows and everything in between. Sam will come to God. We got to declare those things are not as though they were. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to step out on the limb and trust God. Walk out there when he says it. He said, write the vision down, that all that read it may run by it. Hallelujah. I'm running with you. I believe you believe it, and I believe it too. Hallelujah. Let's run together and believe it together, and we're going to get the victory. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is looking out for you. He didn't call you to leave you and leave you stranded out in the wilderness. He caught you to bring you through the wilderness so you can laugh again. Love life again. Love each other again. Hallelujah. Love somebody else again. He's not a destroyer. He's a peacemaker. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Laugh again. Laugh again. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in between you and your lunch. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings today. I'm thankful for your mercy. God, somebody doesn't even know it, but you're looking out for them, Lord. All they see is the trouble around them, and they're like the guy that came out of the tent, and all he saw was trouble. He saw evil. He saw horses all around him and people. Alas, my master, he said, how shall we fare? And the man of God prayed for him, and he opened his eyes again, and then he saw the chariots of fire camped around about them. That God is in control, somebody. You need to understand that. God's in control. Hallelujah. And he's looking out for you. Glory to God. Don't despair. Don't give up. And you will be happy again. Glory to God. Amen. God bless this food and fellowship to our bodies. We're thankful for every visitor and everybody that's here today. But Lord, we don't want to leave and worry. We just want to leave and enjoy life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming, all of you. Go right outside. I'm hoping they're ready for you.